Today is very special for me. This is my first time speaking at a service that hasn't been a youth service. So that's really exciting. Yes, thank you. Today we continue on in our series, The Reason for God, that we've been doing for the past few weeks. And today we look at the difference between religion and the gospel. Basically exploring the difference between the gospel and the life that it calls us to, the life that Jesus calls us to, and religion, and all the requirements that it has with it, even Christian religion. And I'm hoping today that I'll actually be able to get through my entire sermon, unlike with the youth service where I had to cut short, which will be fun. To illustrate the difference between religion and the gospel, I want to go back to the classic story of the strange case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. A brief overview of the story. Dr. Jekyll is a man who discovers within himself the capacity for both evil and good. And so he sort of makes up this potion that will split these sort of personalities, his evil and his good sides, in an effort to sort of diminish his evil and yet nurture and grow his good. Well, after he takes it, he discovers that his evil is even stronger than he had anticipated. And he can't deal with it. And towards the end of the story, Dr. Jekyll finds that he is truly helpless in his fight to keep the evil hidden. He's truly helpless in his fight against that evil inside of him. And he says this, he says, "I resolved in my future conduct to redeem the past. And I can say with honesty that my resolve was fruitful and of some good. You know how earnestly in the last months of the last year I labored to relieve suffering. You know that much was done for others. But as I smiled, comparing myself with other men, comparing my active goodwill with the lazy cruelty and neglect of others, at that very moment of that vainglorious thought, a qualm came over me. A horrid nausea and the most dreadful shuddering. And I looked down and I was once again Edward Hyde." The story shows that everyone, even the best of people, have this amazing, enormous capacity to be selfish. To put others, or to put ourselves before others. This is the origin of evil. The reason the powerful and the rich ignore the plight of the poor. The reason for crime, for warfare, and violence. Dr. Jekyll's story explores our self-centered capacity for evil. And like so many of us, he tries to cover up that sin, to make up for the wrongs that he has done with good works. But this arguably just makes him worse, because he becomes self-righteous. Self-centeredness is the origin of evil, and it comes in two forms. One form is being rebellious, breaking all the rules, damn the consequences. I don't care who I hurt, I don't care what happens, I just want to do things my way. The second is keeping all the rules. Self-centered by being self-righteous. Trusting in our own goodness to save us. And we get self-righteous if we succeed. Or we get depressed when we fail. Either way, we lose. But why am I talking about the forms of self-centeredness? Because the form that trusts in our own goodness is a characteristic of religion. And what are we talking about today? The difference between religion and the gospel. And what is that difference? What's the opposite of a hard-earned prize through good works and good morals and living a good life? The opposite to that is a free gift. Radical grace. That's the difference. And I wonder if you've ever experienced it. Radical grace. I hope so, because most of us in here would confess to being followers of Jesus, and no one can truly follow him without experiencing grace first. Radical grace, that moment when we understand how completely contaminated we are. And in the gloom of realizing that there is nothing that we can do to save ourselves, Jesus' hand breaks through that shadow in a blinding light and lifts us out of it. Radical grace, those moments when we know that we cannot possibly succeed because we've failed too often, we've messed up too much, we don't deserve to succeed. And yet, surprisingly, our goal is achieved because Jesus wills it. And he chooses to use you in spite of your failures. I've experienced that form of grace many times. And that's what gospel Christianity is all about. Radical grace. But unfortunately, there are also religious Christians too, aren't there? Those of us who confess to following Jesus, but really all we're following are rules and guidelines, trying to be good. Do you know that it's just as easy to avoid Jesus by keeping all the rules as it is by breaking them all? You can avoid him just as easily by keeping all the rules of the Bible, just as easily as you can by breaking them all. That's why religious Christianity is so dangerous. In our pursuit of perfection and keeping to the rules, we avoid Jesus who says, "I've already done it for you." We avoid him and his grace. We try to deal with our faults and our failures through moral laws like Dr. Jekyll did. But what we need is a complete transformation of the inner motives of our hearts, the kind that comes only when we experience radical grace. Satan probably even prefers those of us who think that our good works will get us somewhere. He probably even prefers those of us who are like that to unbelievers. Because we can do a lot more spiritual damage, leading other potential followers of Jesus to be simply followers of rules. And who are we at St. Thomas's? Are we religious Christians? Or are we gospel Christians? I think we're a church that looks outward. And I see that for the majority, we are a people who know the grace of God. God does a lot through our church, and we know the grace of God. So this talk isn't a challenge, but an encouragement, a reminder to us to make known the grace that we rely on to others. To invite others to know Jesus for themselves, that their lives might be fulfilled, not by laws and morals, but by the radical grace that we have experienced. That they may experience Jesus turning to them and saying to them, "I love you. I forgive you. Come, follow me." And through this they will be changed by a radical grace that we will show them. And they will be able to see the effect of it in us. So many people live with the attitude that I obey, so I'm accepted. But the gospel says I'm accepted through Jesus. And that's why I obey. We love because Christ first loved us. Two people sit side by side in church. They both pray. They both give their hard-earned money. Both are loyal to their families. Both are faithful to their church, trying to live decent lives. But they do so from two radically different motivations. One obeys out of fear, believing that if they don't obey, that the blessing of God will be taken from them. The other obeys out of gratitude for this surprising blessing that they know is already theirs. Motivated by a desire to please and imitate Jesus, who are we? And what about the outcomes of their lives? The moralist may feel that they're living up to their religious standards, and what happens? They begin to feel superior. Or if they don't feel that they're measuring up, they feel guilt and hate themselves for the constant failures. But the gospel Christian, the gospel follower, will know that they're accepted not despite their flaws, but because they are willing to admit them. Who are we? The Christian gospel is that I'm so flawed that Jesus had to die for me, yet so loved that Jesus was happy to die for me. And this should lead to a deep, deep humility, but also a profound confidence. We cannot feel superior to anyone. We cannot feel superior to anyone, and yet we don't have anything to prove. That's what Dr. Jekyll didn't understand, because he hadn't experienced radical grace. This is what other religions don't understand, because they don't know Jesus' love. Who are we at St. Thomas's? The gospel Christian or the religious Christian? But of course, as with any good thing, there's a balance. In hearing that salvation is by faith alone, some might say, hey, that's a sweet deal. If that's Christianity, all I have to do is have a relationship with God, then I can live whatever way I want to. That's all that's needed. You can always spot a fake when this attitude is alive in someone. This attitude can only live in those who have never experienced radical grace. And in this way, grace can be quite threatening. Grace, then, is the proof of a true follower. Some will take advantage of faith, of grace. You can spot the fake. But some will hold grace in awe. If Jesus did everything for us, we are no longer our own, and we joyfully, gratefully give ourselves to Him. We belong to Him. Now, from the outside, this can sound kind of coercive, sound kind of pushy, the catch to an otherwise good deal. But from the inside of those who have experienced that radical grace, who have experienced Jesus pull them out of that darkness that they know they cannot get themselves out of, from the inside, following and obeying Him is done out of joy. This also is the proof of a gospel Christian. Are we joyous servants or not? It's the fate of humanity to always have a master. And there are only two masters. One is the master of selfishness and religion. The other is the master of the gospel of grace. And only one master can set us free from the other. Grace is a threat. It's a threat to the illusion that we are now free to live a life that we choose. Yes, grace has set us free from sin. But as Paul says in Romans, it has also made us a slave to righteousness. And Jesus says we can't serve two masters. Other religions say, do this, do that, you'll find the divine if you follow this path. Jesus says, I am the divine. Jesus says, I am the divine. And so Christianity separates itself from religions. And we see it as something new, something altogether different, in a league of its own, not governed by laws and standards and the consequences of our own achievements or failures, but something completely other. Radical grace. The divine love of a God who has no heavy burdens to lay upon us. That was my reminder for us, and here's my challenge. I feel that many of us are waiting to be made worthy, waiting until we are worthy. We've paused in our personal relationship with Jesus, putting off telling others about him, because we know that we're not worthy yet. This is my challenge. Are we able to forget legalism and religiousness and remember radical grace? And when we remember radical grace, the thing that we don't deserve, can we then tell others about him, about Jesus? Because only those who are wholly reliant on radical grace, wholly reliant on this free gift from Jesus, only they can go on to make other disciples of Jesus. And only those who are sold out to him will have no room for themselves. This is the message that we need to be telling. This is the message that we need to be speaking into the lives of unbelievers everywhere, to set them free like we are free. Free from sin, but slaves to Jesus Christ. And this isn't meant to be a burden. This is a joy. This is a joy because of radical grace. So what is the difference between religion? What is the difference between Christian religion and the gospel? May our lives be proof. May our lives be proof of radical grace in this world. May our lives show the difference between gospel and religion. Let me pray. Jesus, many of us have grown up in the church. Many of us have grown up in Christian families, and we hear the word grace all the time, so much so that we've become desensitized to it. Others of us who haven't grown up in those situations, we haven't yet grasped the whole meaning of the word grace. Lord Jesus, may you, through your Holy Spirit living in us, may you clarify the difference between religion and gospel. May you show us the wrongs of religion, the failures of it. And may you show us that all we need, all we can rely on is your grace. And may we tell other people about grace. Radical grace. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.